I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part. It is time to become a part.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Sorry for the delay in our start tonight, but I guess due to technical difficulties, we're coming to you live from Brașov, Romania, and I'm glad and hopeful that many of our listening audience hung in there. Anyway, I think tonight's show will be typical of most of the ET Yoga shows of the past, jam-packed with information. We're going to be talking about DNA and 12 strands of it. We'll be talking about hollow earth beings. We'll be talking about ET contact and also tidying up a few loose ends from last week's show where we talked about some of the secrets of Qigong healing. But before we get into all that and probably much more, I'd like to kick off the program in the usual manner by having a little bit of Japa Yoga. And that'll be a short mantra repetition that will be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, it'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Om
Hari Om Hari Om.
Om
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institute. Swamiji passed on in about 2002, and but I'm sure he still has his centers operating all over the planet. I'd like to take this opportunity now to give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, or if you're old, I guess you probably heard me say many times that I also appreciate and applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And although I'm also would like to give my thanks and appreciation to those people in the medical that work specifically in emergency care and the wonderful things that they do there. However, with respect to a basic philosophy about health, I'm going to quote from a Palladian channeling that came from through Barbara Marciniak of Palladians, and state the following, that your body is a magnificent self-healing, self-repairing system, an organic wonder that you have yet to truly appreciate. The belief in a healthy existence is one of the wisest beliefs to embrace. As is true with all beliefs, the bottom line is that you must believe it. The key to vital health is the ability to sustain love for yourself and excitement for life. There is no need to embrace any fearful labels of disease. Remember that forgiveness is a self-healing act that releases you from the lower vibrations of anger and judgment. Forgiveness permits you to move forward in the game so you can get on with the adventure of living a joyful life. You are capable of accomplishing greatness when you believe in yourself. Remind yourself that you are a co-creator of the universe and the multiverse, and that life is about change, and that everything can be healed if you are willing to do the work. You need to accept responsibility for the ability to create excellent health. As many are discovering, cure is not the overall intent of modern medicine, because treatment involving the use of expensive poisons and medicines is far more lucrative than discovering the cause and purpose of the physical and or mental imbalances. And that about sums up my thinking about that subject, although I might add that over the course of the last few years, I've come into contact with the amazing benefits of Qigong healing and some of these amazing technologies that are currently being practiced around the world. And if you missed last week's program, well, actually it was 2 weeks ago, but if you missed that program, I got into some of the thinkings about Enoch Tan, and that's E-N-O-C-H-T-A-N. And he's a mental health practitioner. And I wanted to add to the information I gave last week with respect to sometimes cures reoccurring. And I'm going to quote from one of his articles where he states that the process in healing is the mental work, and the time it takes the practitioner to convince himself of the perfectness of his patient and the length of time it takes the patient to realize this perfectness. If he could do it in 1 minute, the person would be healed in 1 minute. And he states that he's had patients that have a consciousness of a health before the healing can be permanent. So he's stating that what they also do at the Qigong Center in Beijing, China, or at least they did when they operated there, when patients would show up, they would show them videos of people that were successful in healing themselves. And it definitely does help the process. And the whole concept has to become part of the patient's subjective thought. If the consciousness did not change, the patient would perpetuate the old thought images and would get sick again. And that's why in treating people, they get well for a while, and then they become sick again. And they're not permanently healed unless the consciousness is healed. And this kind of goes back to, the thinkings that and teachings that we also hear from Bashar, because as Bashar would say, any specific disease or ailment which may afflict you at any time will usually have a mental origin. In other words, the majority of diseases, including cancer, is the physical manifestation of various mental imbalances that have not been addressed. And there is usually a process of crystallization of energy pattern that form the physical body. And so any issues at an energetic level that are affected by thought will eventually translate to the physical. And I think that these guys that are doing the mental healing, they're becoming very aware of this for sure. And when you treat, resolve things into thoughts, bodies, people, objects, and all things into thoughts. Having resolved everything into thoughts, know that disease is neither person, place, nor thing. It has no location, does not belong to anyone, cannot operate through anyone, is not believed in by anyone. Know that it is a false belief, a false image with no power. Know that the whole thing is mental, then mentally dissolve it. And as Enoch Kong says, each treatment is a complete statement of the reality of being. The treatment should be repeated daily until a healing takes place. If it takes 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, or 5 years, the treatment must be kept up until healing is accomplished. This is the only method we know. It is not enough to say everything is all right. This is true in principle, but in fact, it is only as true as we make it. So treat until you get results. A healing takes place when the patient is no longer sick, and until that time, mental work must be done. And that's from Enoch Kahn. And I might add that Sri Swami Satchidananda had a few comments about healing as well. Because let's face it, everybody has, your body's giving you signals that something is wrong for a reason. Because there are certain habits or certain situations or emotional conditions that need to be resolved. And so it gets to be a kind of a tricky subject with respect to healing and not interfering in someone else's learning process. And I know that Satchidananda in his early days used to heal people kind of in a more confrontive way, let's say, where they were aware of it. And then he kind of changed and gave people little things to do or practices and basically kind of healed them on the side. He found it, and I think probably only a self-realized person would really know the right time to interfere and the right time to let the person do the work pretty much themselves. So I wanted to tidy that subject up just a little bit and also share with you one of the listeners, Alan from London, England, writes in, thanks for ET Yoga. You offer amazing and profound insights into the nature of reality, which are not only deeply interesting but practically useful. I'm heartened by the correspondence between your statements and A Course in Miracles. It's encouraging when teaching and teachers concur on the most fundamental principles. And I like to cross-reference a lot of my the information that I do present on ET Yoga. Certainly, as I just stated, Bashar, the Pleiadians, Syrians, Andromedans, I try to cross-reference their information from them as much as possible. I'd also like to take a moment just to thank the listeners of ET Yoga, as I usually say, just for being you, because you're already making the optimum difference just by being you, and other people become aware of the difference you're already making when you're doing your passion. And I much appreciate your comments and suggestions concerning program content, and I'm also available to answer questions concerning topics I bring up on the show. You can email me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I much appreciate hearing about your successes as well with utilizing techniques you hear on this program, especially those related in the health area. Because in my opinion, really, health is major, and you want to be able to develop the skills to create and maintain excellent health. I'd like to also pass on a pointer from my own personal experience over the last 3 months, because I've been pretty much media free except for this one use of a phone to do this program. And I might point out, as the Pleiadian suggests, that getting media free from time to time is a very positive thing. And from my own experience, I can say that it's helped with respect to being a little bit more intuitive. I can also state that it's kind of a pleasure, in a way, to not even think at all about what's going on in the outside world, and especially as it relates to certain powers or groups that are in control of certain aspects of life on this planet. And I really have found it very beneficial to even take a break from what you would call alternative media. We know about the mess that's in mainstream media and how they channel our thoughts and subject matter, but even in the alternative media, what I find is it's usually similar in a way. It's a different spin, and usually sort of anti-establishment, let's say, in a as a general description. But it's a real treat to not even think about anything on the negative side, So I highly recommend taking a total break from media. That means television, especially, and related to, I've even now spent way less time on internet. Maybe I haven't even had internet for 3 months. So my normal routine is I do, researching subjects and kind of keep more abreast of what's happening in the world. And it's very refreshing to have a different perspective. And I think that it's also related to the powers that be. One of the things they really can't deal with is you don't pay any attention to them whatsoever. So you're giving them no energy to work with. In fact, one of the things I learned a few years back was that it's very important to pursue the positive and not fight the negative. It's kind of like these all these programs that are anti this, anti that. They only serve to perpetuate the existence of what they say they're against. And the negative powers really don't mind negative advertising. Still perpetuates their existence, and in certain aspects still promotes a fear vibration. But when you're not giving them any energy whatsoever, that's something that they have a hard time to deal with. And even Simon Parks commented about actually the hippie generation in the 60s apparently almost busted the system because they were totally unplugged. Well, not totally, but unplugged enough. So I wanted to pass that on as a tip as well. Now, I usually don't do very much advertising concerning the products that I have available at my website, but I'm going to give myself a plug here as it pertains to attaining perfect health for spiritual seekers, because I have a couple of ebooks on my website at etyoga.com. And the ebooks that I have there, I spent thousands of hours putting together the information. They also connect you to about 250 pages on the internet that all relate to this particular subject. And what I thought when I was creating those ebooks was that for someone who's very busy lifestyle, They don't have maybe the money to travel or to have the at least the time to do the searching around to find information that I could put this all in one place so that people would have a one-stop shop basically for attaining perfect health for spiritual seekers. And I want to mention that if you like ET Yoga, I also have a book. My latest book was ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And it's basically not like other books that are kind of like a story form or about a single subject. It's basically 64 different topics. And I deal with them in kind of like 64 different chapters. It's a 300-page book. It's like ET Yoga. It's jam-packed with information. And I much appreciate your support. It sells for $9.95. It can be downloaded from the website at etyoga.com. Now, in the other point I wanted to tidy up from last week's program, are a couple of minor, or at least short, little short blurbs here. One was with respect to a comment I made about forgiveness. The show was kind of getting near its end and didn't have time to really give the complete concept there. And that is, I think you need to be able to forgive anyone or any organization for anything, because if you don't, it just keeps you stuck there. And I think it's important that you be able to send love to any being on the planet or off the planet. And if you have a problem doing that, then it shows you where you're stuck. So given that as a premise, what I was trying to communicate about certain people, when they do transgressions, they're not remorseful for them, even if they say they are. And in that case, it kind of goes back to that old saying, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. That's kind of the gist of what I was trying to get at. In other words, even though in your own heart you've already given forgiveness, you may still have to play a role that that doesn't allow the person to repeat the performance. I wanted to clarify that. Another point that I wanted to talk or expand upon, I didn't have time for last week, was when I was talking about fate and karma and destiny. And I'm going to reread a paragraph that comes from Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, that a child is born on that day and at that hour when the celestial rays are in mathematical harmony with his individual karma. His horoscope is a challenging portrait revealing his unalterable past and its probable future results. But the natal chart can be rightly interpreted only by men of intuitive wisdom, and these are few. The message boldly blazoned across the heavens at the moment of birth is not meant to emphasize fate, the result of past good and evil, but to arouse man's will to escape from his universal thraldom. What he has done, he can undo. None other than himself was the instigator of the causes of whatever effects are now prevalent in his life. He can overcome any limitation because he created it by his own actions in the first place, and because he possesses spiritual resources that are not subject to planetary pressure. And I think it's important here that this information to me really connects with Bashar's ideas that we need to take 100% responsibility for our outer experience. I think most of our ET Yoga audience realizes that it's our emotions, our intentions, our thoughts, our definitions that create the reality that we experience. And we can only experience the reality we're the vibration of. If you're not the vibration of it, you can't experience it. It's kind of like information. If you're not attuned to that level of or frequency of information, you don't hear it. So I think that this is really the key point that on the planet right now is this demarcation line between people that don't realize that thoughts and emotions and definitions create your outer reality. That they're stuck in this, that everything's happening at random to them, etc. And I think that is your point of power. When you realize that you are creating your outer reality, that is your point of power, so that you do have the power to change and fix it and make adjustments. Very important point, and one that I certainly I really like it, because again, it ties in the extraterrestrial information, in this case specifically from Bashar. And by the way, he also states that responsibility doesn't mean you're to blame either. It means you have a responsibility, and the ability to respond. And he also would further state that blame and complaint and justification are keywords that always reflect victimhood. So it's not about blame. It's not about, it's just about being responsible. And with you, as Yogananda would point out, that just because you have an inclination towards something does not mean that you can't change it. And again, kind of comes all down to belief. And that's why I call ET Yoga the yoga of belief. And if you're new to ET Yoga, ET Yoga, I try to do a mix of yoga teachings and extraterrestrial channel information, because to my way of thinking, the yoga of belief should be a whole new branch of yoga. And although the great masters and those who were self-realized were certainly aware of the power of belief, it's not one of the main branches of yoga. And I studied from Sri Swami Satchidananda and his integral yoga. He has six branches there. And they're very similar to what the Essenes taught, actually, 2,000 years ago. They had seven branches. The one that seems to be admitted is called Laya Yoga, which is the yoga of the chakras and how to activate them. And in most other systems, and I've also have training from Paramahansa Yogananda's Self-Realization Fellowship and their material. And I'm also connected with Sri Ramana Maharshi and his teachings. And I highly recommend his book, The Path of Self-Knowledge. And in all those teachings, I'm much, totally grateful for all that. But somewhere along the line in the 70s or so, information started coming to this planet, in my opinion, from things like Jane Roberts and the Seth material, the Bringers of the Dawn from Barbara Marciniak, and these people are bringing up, and many others, but these were my first experiences with respect to what I call a new type of thinking and new concepts, and all basically centered around belief. And then we now have science confirming a lot of those findings that have been channeled through extraterrestrial sources. And I find the extraterrestrial information particularly beneficial in the area of personal self-empowerment. And that to now move on to a kind of another related ET subject, because, you know, there, it's been mentioned before about, you know, are there ETs or are there not ETs? And, you know, I'm over here in Romania, and actually there was a radio show this week here, and they had a call in about, I guess, do people believe in extraterrestrials? And it was pretty wild, because I found it kind of shocking that so many people have more of a, I don't know, a 1950s opinion about extraterrestrials. Well, I've never wanted to get into the any arguments concerning, you know, do ETs exist or not, because it all comes down to me is that, is the information accurate or not? Does it work for you or doesn't it? And same with all the information on ET Yoga. You can use what you can use. If you can't use it, great. My purpose is that I feel blessed to be able to share information that comes my way with a listening audience that can appreciate that. And if you can, and it's a two-way street. I really love getting information from the listening audience, as well as try to provide people with the best information that I know how to. And with this topic about ETs, well, sooner the contact's imminent, and I'm going to talk a little bit after about when I think that might be. But the bottom line here is I'm going to quote from Patricia Corey's book, The Starseed Dialogues. And the Starseed Dialogues state this, which I totally would concur with. There was a question here. It says, you have alluded to our imminent contact with extraterrestrials, but have not committed to the actual timing of this global event. Can you be more specific as to what alien beings are actually intervening or interacting with human beings currently? And there's their answer. At this moment, there are Anunnaki hybrids who run your global corporations, and they in turn run your governments. Described at length in our works regarding the power elite, there are the Zeta Reticulans that work in your military and scientific control centers. There are alien colonies underwater, in your oceans, and under the Earth's surface layer, managing a complex network of subterranean colonies and breeding centers, aquaculture farms, experimental laboratories, weapons, and energy storage centers. There are the Alpha Draconians, reptilian in nature, feeding off the lower vibrations of your species. There are countless others at work there on Earth for the completion of their own agendas. Alien species of every form and level of intelligence cover your planet. Amoeba with telepathic capacities capable of testing and surviving in any geophysical environment currently exist on your planet. Creatures of the seas are being utilized by alien colonists as transporters and energy sources. Alien microbes, bacteria, thought forms, genetically created creatures of every possible invention also abound. You have alien beings with relatively perfect human form in your governments, your corporations, your communications organizations, and they are unrecognizable to you because they appear to be exactly like you until you look deeply into their eyes. When you gaze deeply into the eyes of an alien, you know that it is not your species looking back. You always know whether or not you're capable of identifying just what it is that is not familiar to you. This is why they rarely look you in the eye. You have communication from extra-dimensional intelligence coming in from the light realms of the fifth dimension onwards, involving Pleiadian, Sirian, Arcturian, and Andromedan light beings, assisting Earth beings and those of your sister planets, with much attention being focused on the celestial Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn in primary focus. You have uninterrupted visitation from alien craft and projections of them in your night skies, although the masses are seeing but not believing, from the most barren outposts of your planet to those locations of greatest population density. You have crop circles, radio transmissions, and signs of contact everywhere around you. Therefore, to say that you will have contact in the future is somewhat misrepresentative of the extraterrestrial reality as it pertains to alien species presence upon an intervention with your Earth. And I think that really says it all. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, but if you haven't figured out that they're here, well, it'll be obvious probably when. Well, according to Bashar, Earth is scheduled to be in a member of the Association of Worlds by 2033. Based on information from Bashar, he says the first actual group will be the Yael. That's because the Yael mean those who come first, actually. In Bashar's language, the word that the Sasani use for them is the Shalanaya. Shalanaya meaning in a Sasani, those who come first. So that contact would logically have to occur before 2033 or let's say, I don't know, 2025 or so. So we're approaching probable point where there will be what you guess would call an official recognition of ET contact. You know, it's coming up, and until then, it's open speculation. You know, you can believe in them or not. As Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, would say, doesn't matter if you believe that Bashar is an extraterrestrial either. Listen to the information. Is it good? Is it not good? Can you use it? Can you become more self-empowered? So what's the difference what the source is? I think that's a really healthy way to look at it. And then when finally it comes around that there's proof, then it'll be mainstream. Interesting point of view, I think. And by the way, Pat Corey, I'm not. I don't think she's still doing her radio show on BBS, but she used to have a show on Outside the Box. And there's also, actually, I've been on her show, and she's been on ET Yoga. She's one of the few people that I have had on as guests. And I highly recommend her book, The Starseed Dialogues. And she also has a book, No More Secrets, No More Lies, that I particularly like as well. I'll take another little snippet from her stuff just to give you, tantalize you a little bit here. A question was asked about, what about the hollow earth theory? How does this fit in with the idea that such a civilization exists near the center of the earth? And the answer was, your earth is not hollow from north to south poles, as has been suggested in some of your recent texts. This is merely a holographic projection that serves as a shield to those interested in entering uninvited into the sacred lands of Agartha. If, however, you intend that to mean that it is not a solid sphere, a density of ore and rock, then yes, yes indeed. Once you get through the outer passageways, you quickly discover that the inner world of Gaia is a golden bowl of light, pulsating in exquisite rhythm with every celestial body in the heavens and resonating to the music of love. Is it true that there are extraterrestrials underground? Are they citizens of Agartha? The answer they give is, alien species are found in the primary subsurface levels where your surface government elite have burrowed into to build their private earthways, fortresses, weapons silos, intercontinental speed railways, laboratories, storage centers, and military bases. You must not confuse the underground with the inner world of Gaia. As we have previously stated, aliens do work there in the subterranean levels, just as they have created living environments in the depths of your oceans, where they remain relatively hidden to all but the myriad sea beings who share the waterways of the great whales and the dolphin beings. You are only now beginning to learn that there are indeed craft of extraterrestrial origin entering and exiting their subterranean and sub-oceanic bases. But there in the deep inner world of Agartha, there are no alien races, for they cannot penetrate. Only the highly evolved intraterrestrial Homo sapiens populate the protected world. Atlantean settlers from the closing of the second cycle of Atlantean civilization with the Ice Age approximately 35,000 years ago. Tunnels that lead to Agartha are found in every landmass of your planet, with a key entry port located at the pole, as experienced by your Admiral Byrd, who actually reached the inner world and lived to return to speak of the wonders he beheld there. From the most remote Himalayan peaks to the most heavily populated urban centers, portals exist from the Agartans, do exist from time to time, but rarely are humans allowed entry. These points of passage are protected by an energy source known to the Atlanteans, the mind light generators, which were capable of harvesting the conscious thoughts and focused will of the collective for the creation and storage of what we will refer to as environmental magnetism. This energy alters the vibration of matter at the inner portals to the point that anyone intent upon entering without invitation would, were he or she astute enough to locate and enter a tunnel, experience confusion, disorientation, and even death. This force has been identified by your mystics as the Vril power. It is the use of the collective consciousness of the few or the many to alter the material realm, just as it was used in Atlantis to create all the needed energy to power entire cities. Tunnels in and out of Agartha can be closed and opened at the will of the leadership, as determined by the energetic vibrations of the surface locations and any threat to the inner world. Such is the case now with the portal in Tibet, where the exquisite energy of the spirit leaders has been all but erased by the aggressors who have disrupted the power of peace and destroyed the harmonies that once resonated across the mountaintops of the Himalayan range. Are you suggesting that Agartans walk among us? We are declaring that at certain points of your globe, particularly those places you know as India, Tibet, Mongolia, the Andes, and the high northern hemispheres, Agartan scouts have exited and entered the gateways to gather information regarding the outer world. And yes, at key times in your evolution, they have interacted with beings from select societies, such as the Egyptians, the Tibetans, the Druids, the Maya, and native peoples of many continents. They remain imprinted on the myths and legends of these peoples, and you can find reference everywhere around you in the carvings upon stone and the oral traditions that remain with the keepers of the records. However, we are not suggesting that they will walk the streets of your 21st century cities disguised as your contemporaries. Aside from their distinct physical forms, which would unquestionably set them apart from you all, they would not be able to withstand the environmental pollution, the bacteria and viruses with which you share your common spaces and the very air you breathe. Highly telepathic, they cannot withstand the negative vibration of the current mass consciousness of outer Earth's residents. May we know what these people look like? They are of the extremely fair complexion of your Nordic races, of great height with lean bodies. They stand twice the average height of contemporary human beings and a keen instinct. Their sensory apparatus are far more accurate than yours, and their eyes are huge by your standards, reflecting the high-end spectrum hues of blue, violet, and magenta. They enjoy extremely long lifespans, centuries long, and live in robust good health and well-being, reflected in their youthful appearance and glowing energy fields. And that's from the Starseed Dialogues. And I might add that there's also the Syrian Revelations. Those also a set of books by Patricia Corey. And lots of interesting books. Of course, the one book that I like to always mention is Bringers of the Dawn, because I know it's coded, and I know a lot of times when you read and reread it, you find things you didn't think were there before. And it's for free on the internet, by the way. Bringers of the Dawn by Barbara Marciniak. In terms of communication and health issues, I think if you really want to get an overall of what I guess I'm talking about, I would go to my May 20th program and June 3rd program with respect to that subject, because if you can also access the archives for ET Yoga by going to my website at etyoga.com, and you can access them right from the site, or you can just push the button on the front page that says Radio Archives. You go right to the archives, and they're dated, and also they're tagged by subject matter. I did mention at the top of the show I wanted to touch upon DNA a little bit. And science at the onset of the 21st century on Earth has made a gargantuan leap in the decoding of human genetics, and the teams have only broken a fraction of the complex code of genetic blueprints of all beings on this planet. But it does come with great responsibilities. And according to the Starseed Dialogues, it's misused. Unfortunately, it has already resulted in dire consequences for the human race and for animals and plants gracing the earth at this time. From the cells in the petri dish to wild hybrids in laboratory cages, genetically mutated bioforms have either already appeared in your plant and animal kingdoms, or they are soon to be unleashed upon you. And this aspect of DNA reorganization that geneticists seem to be mastering, well, if it can be described as mastery. Ironically, no doubt you intuit that we believe little good can come of such experimentation, considering the consciousness behind such manipulations. Ironically, the establishment continues to adhere to the simplistic and utterly inadequate explanation of complex human genetics being comprised of 80% pure junk within you. 80% junk. We wish to suggest that had the scientific communities of Earth been funded to pursue the study of human DNA for the highest purpose, with the same intensity as they have been to toy with genetic manipulation for commercial and military uses, they would surely know by now how to reassemble the scattered bits and pieces for full light body consciousness. Yes, but then your awakening to the legacy of your seed, full light body awareness, is the last thing the power desires, as they desperately seek to bring Gaia down into the darkness of their Niburian doom. Neither do they understand, nor are they funded to explore your multidimensional extraterrestrial seeds and origins, and therefore they dismiss as sheer lunacy the possibility that what they have denied and deem junk within every human being as anything but that. They refuse to even consider that the scattered material within you has a most incredible purpose, and that is coming to light now. You, the awakening, are realizing and remembering that you hold within you an additional 10 strands of DNA, your multidimensional galactic linkage, dormant and awaiting activation. The science to which you refer has to date identified and decoded the physical manifestation of 20% of the DNA codex of Homo sapiens, its biochemical, electromagnetic composition, and they're still in the dark, so to speak, as to the meaning of the 80% they are unable to identify. Do you realize the incredible bluff that has been perpetrated upon the human race? Science claims absolute authority over truth, and yet it gets away with perpetrating the idea that 80% of your makeup is junk. As we understand junk to be waste and unnecessary to any system, we have great difficulty in understanding how this concept can be embraced as truth and why the minds of human beings have not questioned such a blanket of ignorance as to their own existence. We are encouraged to see that you are finally recognizing how much more there is to the story of human genetics. The time of self-discovery of the entire race is upon you. The Earth, as Earth accelerates her electromagnetic fields in preparation for ascension, all living beings in her embrace are also accelerating, and these waves of intense energy are disintegrating the grid, which caused these bits of bioelectrical data to scatter from the onset of your species. These enormous waves of cosmic energy are magnetizing the snippets of DNA into their etheric structures to be reorganized into the complex weaving of the multidimensional sacred geometries that will define your existence in light body. And I think it's important to note that, I don't know, from my initial realizations and consciousness, that I call it consciousness completion. In other words, we all have these, when you got these 12 strands of DNA, most people function with two, lots of kids being born with three. As I understand it, the four strands and up are actually on the astral level, so nobody's going to be determining that anytime soon. But from Bringers of the Dawn, I'd like to give this suggestion. Two or three times a day, devote a small portion of your time to getting clear about what you want. Every day, open the energy centers in your body and above your body by calling the frequency of light. We call this the pillar of light. Picture a beam of light coming into your 12 chakra centers, seven inside your body and five outside your body. And in my way of thinking, you have seven, you have 12 chakras and you have 12 strands of DNA and they are all connected. These chakras are information centers or vortexes that once activated begin to spin. And when they spin, they create a movement inside your body that activates the light encoded filaments to work together, rebundle and form the 12 evolving helixes in the body. Very important for everyone who wishes to be in complete balance with their physical being to practice on a regular basis some kind of deep breathing program. This is a program in which breath is very important and oxygenation is practiced so that oxygen is brought into the body. Another activity we recommend for those of you who wish to move into a vast acceleration of energy is spinning. Move from left to right, spinning around and focusing your vision on your thumb, counting and spinning. We recommend that you spin 33 times at least once a day. You may build up to the 33 spins very slowly. If you're able to work up to 33 spins three times a day so that you're spinning 99 times, well, we'll see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. When you complete spinning, however, many times you spin, bring your palms together at chest level, press them together, keeping your eyes open, and balance yourself with your feet a shoulder's width apart so that you feel anchored and still feel the spinning at the same time. This tremendously accelerates the spinning of the chakra systems inside your body, which tremendously accelerates the rate at which you can interpret and receive data. And that's from Bringers of the Dawn. And I might add that on YouTube, I highly recommend Solara on Ra and her YouTubes. And she's got a most recent one there with respect to Pleiadian Pillar of Light, and the focus of it is you're intending a connection between your 12 chakras and your 12 strands of DNA, which to me, that's what it's all about. You get 12 strands of DNA fully activated and open, and all your 12 chakras fully activated and open. To me, that would, in, I guess, scientific terms, equal a totally self-realized being. Well, at this point in time, I guess in the program, I'm nearing the end, and I'd like to wish my listeners my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I usually close the program by sharing with you a technique called the Who Am I technique. First came across it actually from Baba Ram Dass, and then subsequently in the book The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi. And Sri Ramana Maharshi, for those that are not familiar with him, he basically did the Who Am I technique and stayed self-realized. So I guess if your ripe fruit falls from the tree. For most of us, if you have the experience, which I have, then you don't stay at that level, then that is the foundation of your spiritual journey. And to me, it's still the most powerful technique, because it's not using mind to achieve a goal. And basically what you do is you place all your consciousness in your ajna center, your sixth chakra, third eye, and then you become that spot. And so you try to get in the highest place you can to then become that spot. And then from there, you basically ask the question, who am I? And you can ask that a few times or whatever feels comfortable. Main point being to focus in that center of the forehead. And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.